Welcome back to Between the Lines. We hope you enjoyed that break, because we're diving back into the depths of Scripture with more enlightening discussions. Join us now as we continue our journey.
Chapter 23, he that is wounded in the stones, in the man parts. Mm-hmm. This is going to blow your mind. It's a death sentence. It's a death sentence to hit a man there.
Yes, yes.
If you're a woman.
Right. Yeah, boys, whenever we got into this part before too, I was like, wow. Oh, I get it, though.
I've had a couple past girlfriends that they would have been dead. He that is wounded in the stones, or hath his privy member cut off, shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord. A bastard shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord. Even to his tenth generation shall he not enter into the congregation of the Lord. Wow. An Ammonite, or Moabite shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord. Even to their tenth generation shall they not enter into the congregation of the Lord forever. These are those who yesterday we talked about were into the dark arts. They currently occupy the land of Canaan, which God is going to give them. He said these people are observers of times, enchanters, witches, charmers, consulters with familiar spirits, wizards, necromancers. All of these things are an abomination unto me. You see, spiritual things that get into your family bloodline stay there. God says it's going to take 10 generations before I'll let you come into the congregation after this. You know, he says, I will curse those who hate me to the third and fourth generation. But you do stuff like this. 10 generations later, your family might be released of it. Aren't you glad Jesus Christ came along to free you from these laws? You can break any spiritual chains through the acknowledgement of Jesus Christ and the acceptance of his sacrifice for all of your spiritual sins, not your fleshly sins. This body is going to die under this law. Christ came to make the spirit man holy. It's nothing you can do with your hands under this law that will make you holy. He came to take care of the spirit man. Whatever you do here, you will pay for in this flesh. Sin, and watch what happens to you. Christ said to the man he healed, go and sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you. You will pay for every sin that you do in this body here on this earth. Christ came to make the spirit man, the one who is really alive, who will spend eternity in another place. He came to make him holy so that he could be in God's kingdom. This flesh, oh, well, he's going to rise us up one day. No, he's not. This flesh ain't never coming back. The spirit man, a new body. Christ was the only one that brought his old body back because it was holy. It never sinned. And when he was hung on this cross, and this may blow your mind, when he's hung on this cross, it was a total deception to Satan. All Satan could think about was getting rid of this man.
Oh, yeah.
Getting rid of this Son of God. Mm-hmm. This Bible says, you go back to 10 commandments, thou shalt not kill. No, that's a misprint. That is a misinterpretation. Thou shalt not murder. If you murder an innocent person, you will be put to death. Jesus Christ was innocent. Satan killed him. He is guilty of the murder of Christ. That is why Christ was able to go to hell and strip him of his power and free those he had captive there, because he was innocent. Had Christ had any sin on him, any at all, mm-hmm. it wouldn't have been a murder, because he would have been required to die under the law one day. Thou shalt not murder. Even to their tenth generation shall they not enter into the congregation of the Lord forever, because they met you not with bread and with water in the way when you came forth out of Egypt, and because they hired against you Balaam and the son of Beor, Bethor, Mesopotamia, to curse thee. Nevertheless, the Lord thy God would not hearken unto Balaam, but the Lord thy God turned the curse into the blessing unto thee, because the Lord thy God Love thee, thou shalt not seek their peace nor their prosperity in all the days forever. Thou shalt not abhor the Edomite, for he is thy brother. Thou shalt not abhor the Egyptian, because thou wast a stranger in his land. The children that are begotten of them shall enter into the congregation of the Lord in their third generation. When the host goeth forth against thine enemies, then keep thee from every wicked thing. If there be among you any man that is not clean by reason of uncleanness, that cleaneth him, that chanceth him by night, then shall he go abroad out of the camp. He shall not come within the camp. So easy to be unclean. You know, and I'm not going to explain to you what that is, but young men, it happens to them sometimes at night. During dreams. Even if that happens, you're unclean. Get out of the camp. But it shall be, when evening cometh on, he shall wash himself with water. And when the sun down, he shall come upon the camp again. Thou shalt have a place also without the camp, whither thou shalt go forth abroad, and thou shalt have a paddle upon thy weapon. It shall be, when thou wilt ease thyself abroad, thou shalt dig therewith the salt, turn back the cover, that which cometh from thee. The Lord thy God walketh in the midst of thy camp to deliver thee, and to give up thine enemies before thee. Therefore shall the camp be holy, and he see no unclean thing in thee, and turn away from thee. You cannot let sin into the congregation, because I am a holy God. And if it's there, I cannot be there with you. I cannot go out ahead of you and defeat your enemies. I give you this great statute of the law. I know you're going to sin. I've watched you for 400 years in Egypt and in coming out of Egypt. I know you're going to sin. And I've given you ways to cover it, not to take it away, to cover it through sacrifice. But you can't allow it to fester. It can't be a reoccurring thing that's accepted. You've got to get rid of it. Once you see it, you've got to get rid of it. Thou shalt not deliver unto his master the servant which is escaped from his master unto thee. He shall dwell with thee even among you in the place which he shall choose in one of thy gates, where it likely him best. Thou shalt not oppress him. Thou shalt in no wise whore. Thou shalt be no whore of the daughters of Israel. There shall be no whore of the daughters of Israel, nor a sodomite of the sons of Israel. Wow. Mm-hmm. Another abomination to God. He says so. You will be good, upright people. Thou shalt not bring the hire of a whore or the price of a dog unto the house of the Lord thy God for any vow, for even both these are an abomination unto the Lord thy God. Thou shalt not lend upon usury to thy brother, usury of money, interest. Do not charge your brother interest, usury of victuals, usury of anything that is lent upon usury. Unto a stranger thou mayest lend upon usury, but unto thy brother thou shalt not lend upon usury. And over the years after the Jews were scattered, they got a bad name because God has put a financial blessing on the Jewish people. I don't know if you know that, but it's in here. He said, I will scatter you into the wind because you have rejected my son. And he does. In 70 AD, they're scattered into the wind, but they have a blessing and a curse on them. You will be a thorn in the side of everyone where you live, and you will also be financially blessed. So they follow this law during the daylight. You know, what they do in their minds and in the evening is another thing. But as far as people normally see, they try to follow this law, and they have been known for years to be lenders of money. To the stranger, they charge interest rates. To their brothers, they don't. That's what the book says here to do. Doesn't that make you angry if you're one of the strangers? You know, how come I'm paying 6% interest in, and Ahab over there, he don't pay no interest.
Yeah.
That the Lord thy God may bless thee in all thou settest thine hand to in the land, whether thou goest to possess it. When thou shalt vow unto the Lord thy God, thou shalt not slack to pay it. The Lord thy God will surely require it of thee, and it would be a sin in thee. if thou shalt forbear to vow, it shall be no sin in thee. You make a vow to God, you better fulfill it. Mm-hmm. The Bible says it's better not to do that.
Okay.
Because God requires you to keep your promises.
To have not said anything at all would be better.
Yes, absolutely. Oh, God, please let my mama live. I'll never drink again.
Yeah.
Mama lives and...
Well...
Just one little sip.
It's not hurting, right?
Yeah. Well, I didn't die after I took that sip, so yeah, I'll start drinking again.
Yep.
You will suffer. You will be cursed. And you know, there are things in my life when I sin, I oftentimes see the retribution of it. Something will happen. I'll have a monetary collapse of some sort, or something will just go wrong, and it will come into my mind exactly why. And I thank God that He reminds me of these things, because sin brings nothing but calamity to your life in one way or another.
I kind of, not to interrupt you, but I kind of do the same thing too. Like, something starts going backwards and stuff like that, I'm just like, oh God. And it's not like, you know, crazy or anything like that, but I feel like I can almost associate it with exactly what I did.
Oh,
cause
yeah.
It to happen.
I can only pinpoint it.
And then I can't, then there's no getting mad at that point.
Like, I can only pinpoint it because at the time I did it, I justified it in my mind.
Right.
Because it's something I wanted to do.
Gotcha. Yes, sir. A lot of times that's what happened for me too.
Yeah. And I know better. And I've read this book more than anyone I know. And because of that, my sins are greater than anyone I know. It's the more you know about it, and you still betray it, it becomes that much worse. But if thou shalt forbear to vow, there shall be no sin unto thee. That which is gone out of thy lips, thou shalt keep and perform even a free will offering according as thou hast vowed unto the Lord thy God, which thou hast promised with thy mouth. When thou comest unto thy neighbor's vineyards, and thou mayest eat grapes, thy fill at thine own pleasure, but thou shalt not put any in the vessel. When thou comest into the standing corn of thy neighbor, when thou mayest pluck the ears with thine hand, thou shalt not move a sickle unto thy neighbor's standing corn. You can go into your neighbor's cornfield if you're hungry and pluck an ear and eat it, but don't take enough home for the rest of the family. Okay?
What you need for the provision for the moment.
What you need, and that falls under the charity rules of the law. Chapter 24, book of Deuteronomy. When a man hath taken a wife and married her, come to pass that she find no favor in his eyes because he hath found some uncleanliness in her, then let him write a bill of divorcement and give it under her hand and send her out of his house. There you go. Christians, not allowed to divorce. Yes, no, yes you are. You know, God does not want you to live in misery.
Mm-mm.
You know, he hopes, and he says so, you know, if you find a wife and she's pleasurable to you and you're pleasurable to her, it's good that you live your entire lives together and you keep the wife of your youth. But if it does not work, he understands that, and he says so right there. Write her a bill of divorcement and give it under her hand and send her out of your house. And when she is departed out of the house, she may go and be another man's wife. No adultery there. I know you're gonna see some things in the back of this Bible that will confuse you and make you think that it is, but it's not. And if the latter husband hate her and write her a bill of divorcement and give it to her hand and sendeth her out of the house, or if the latter husband die, which took her to be his wife, her former husband, which sent her away, may not take her again to be his wife. His opportunity is over.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? He sent her out. She has had another husband. Therefore, she is unclean to him now. After that, she is defiled, but that is an abomination. Another one in big words. That's just not a sin. That's an abomination before the Lord, and thou shalt not cause the land to sin, which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance. When a man hath taken a new wife, he shall not go out to the war, neither shall he be charged with any business, but he shall be free at home 1 year. and shall cheer up his wife, which hath been taken. You know, if you think about this, this is a man takes a new wife. Average age was 13, 14 years old. It may sound very bad toward modern terms, but it wasn't. That's the way they did it. She has just left her parents' home. And can you imagine you bring a child like that into your house, and then you just go off to war, and you're gone 6 months, or you're working 16 hours a day. You know, she's going to lose her mind. It says take an entire year. Get her happy. Make that her home. Spend lots of time with her. Let love grow. Because oftentimes, in these type situations, there was very little dating, was very little courtship.
Everything was arranged.
Yes.
A lot of it.
Isaac sent his servant to bring Jacob a wife.
Yeah.
I'm glad he had good eyesight. Jacob was too.
Yes.
God picked her, but
right.
He brought her back, an amazing woman, beautiful. But can you imagine that Jacob's out in the field like he was? And he sees the camel train coming, sees this 300-pound heifer jump off the cow, out off the camel, and start walking toward him.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
What have you done?
I'm a volunteer to be a eunuch.
No. It was Eliezer. Eliezer picked out a beautiful one. A woman worthy of a prince. No man shall take the nether or the upper millstone to pledge, for he hath taken a man's life to pledge. That there has to do with someone's livelihood. This is how you ground your corn. You know what? You owe me money. If you don't pay up, I'm going to come and I'm going to repossess that millstone there. No, you can't. That's how he earns his living. You know, and it pops into my mind, you know, men should pay their child support. It's sad that 50% of marriage in America ends in divorce, but men should pay their child support. But in this state, if you don't, they'll suspend your driver's license.
Immediately.
How are you supposed to get to work?
Right.
With no driver's license?
Right.
So if your driver's license is suspended, then they're going to put you in jail because you're not paying and you're not paying and you're not paying. Insanity.
Mm-hmm.
If a man be found stealing any of his brethren of his children of Israel and maketh merchandise of them. Joseph.
Yeah.
You can't kidnap your neighbor's children and sell them.
Yeah.
Joseph's brothers sold him into Egypt. But we do find out that that was all God's plan. They had no choice in it. God has a lot of things going on here. Good, bad, or indifferent, he's in charge of all of them. Then that thief shall die. Now, you know, I keep harping on, read the rest of the book, and you will find amazing things in the law.
Mm-hmm.
Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, after you've read the rest of the book, look what we're doing here today. All of these things pertain to the patriarchs and the future of Israel. And once you've read the rest of the book, you'll get great satisfaction in the law and Deuteronomy. Thou shalt put evil away from among you. After every paragraph, he says, put evil away from among you, because it will fester like cancer and grow and destroy you. Take heed in the plague of leprosy, that thou observe diligently and do according to all that the priests, the Levites, shall teach you, as I commanded them, so ye shall observe it. And if you remember, back in Leviticus, God says, if I have placed leprosy there, if I have done this, and why does he do that? Because there is sin in that individual's life, or there's sin in that household. But pay attention to it. When you see it, set it apart from you. That is an outward observation of sin. And it will fester, and that one will grow, not because you might be sinful, but because you've come in contact with that sinful person. That's how easy it is to become diseased under the law. That's how easy it is to die under the law. Just touch against someone who is unclean. Mm-hmm. Leprosy is just an outward appearance. It's uncleanliness. It's something wrong with the heart, because it wouldn't be there if there were not something wrong with the heart. You follow God with all your heart, you will not have disease. You will not be sick. Oh, that sounds incredibly impossible. No, it's a fact. God says so. Go and sin no more, lest the worst thing come upon you. Jesus Christ never had an ailment in his life. Oh, he obviously had the common cold. No, he did not. It was illegal for the bacteria that causes the common cold to touch him. Remember what the Lord thy God did unto Miriam, by the way. After that, ye were come forth out of Egypt. You remember when she laughed?
Yeah.
Just became leprous. Sin. Doubting God. Laughing. When thou dost lend thy brother anything, thou shalt not go into his house to fetch it his pledge. You lend him something. Let him use it to the fullest of what he needed it for. Don't get mad at him and go in there and take it back. Thou shalt stand abroad, and the man to whom thou hast thus lent shall bring out the pledge abroad unto thee. Don't go into his house and take it. Let him bring it to you. And if any man be poor, thou shalt not sleep with his pledge. In any case, thou shalt deliver him the pledge again when the sun goeth down, that he may sleep in his own raiment and bless thee. It shall be righteous unto thee before the Lord thy God. If he's poor, give it back to him if he needs it. Thou shalt not oppress an hired servant that is poor and needy, whether he be of thy brethren or of thy strangers that are in the land within thy gates. You know, you see all these movies where you got these poor people and they're absolutely ruled by these rich people. God says, don't do it. Have pity on the poor. Hire them, help them, give them charity, but do not rule over them, because you have more than they do, and they need the food that comes from your table. At this day thou shalt give him his hire, neither shall the sun go down upon it, for he is poor and sitteth his heart upon it, lest he cry against thee unto the Lord, and it be a sin unto thee. When he works for you all day, you pay him that day, because he's poor, you know? Maybe a middle-class person can wait a week to get his entire paycheck. But a poor person, you pay him that day because he needs it. The father shall not be put to death for the children, neither shall the children be put to death for the fathers. Every man shall be put to death for his own sin. You will see aspects of this being done as we go further on between the lines. Thou shalt not pervert the judgment of a stranger, nor of the fatherless, nor take a widow's raiment to pledge. Thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondman in Egypt, and the Lord thy God redeemed thee thence. Therefore I command thee to do this thing. Be courteous to the poor. Take care of them. Lots and lots of charity. Because when you left Egypt, I caused all of the Egyptians to give you everything that they had, silver and gold and beautiful raiment and jewels. You came in and you were slaves there, and you left as royalty. You make the poor around you feel like royalty. And if you do this thing, if you're charitable, you will be blessed. I can testify to that. I have everything I could ever want in this world. And I don't care anything about money. I'm not bragging. I don't care anything about money. And I want to give, and I want to help. And I didn't always know this. And I struggled. You be charitable, and you'll be wealthy in one way or another. God promises, when thou cuttest down thine harvest in thy field, hast forgot a sheaf in the field, thou shalt not go again to fetch it. It shall be for the stranger, for the fatherless, and for the widow, that the Lord thy God may bless thee in all the work of thine hands. So, Jonathan's out combining his field. Been out there for 12 hours, and he misses a whole acre in the back. Because it's dark. He thinks he's done. Combining all the corn. So he just got it out. Tractors, saw all of them back up the barn. Next morning, how'd I miss that whole half acre? God says, you leave it there. You didn't just miss it. I caused you to miss it. Charity. Leave it for the poor.
That's what I was thinking too when you were just reading that too, as in when has forgotten a sheaf. It's like, did you really forget?
Yeah.
Or did somebody just go, hey, wait a minute?
We're going to see a lot of that, aren't we?
Yeah.
People think they have free will, and they do when it comes to acknowledging God. But your free will that you think is not always your free will. God steers people with a steering wheel sometimes.
Yes, sir.
He even sends angels down to put stumbling blocks in front of them, to tell them incorrect things, to steer them in certain directions. Oh, God would never lie. Deception is the greatest truth during war. And this is a spiritual warfare. And God sends many angels down here to deceive men, because he needs them to do certain things. Because the war, this might be a battle, but the entire war is coming together on a cross one day in Judea. When thou beatest thine oil tree, the olive tree, thou shalt not go over to the boughs again. It shall be for the stranger, for the fatherless, and for the widow. Glean the tree one time.
Mm-hmm.
Don't go back and, oh, there's at least 25 more olives on that tree.
Right.
I get those.
Right.
I'll put them on my salad tonight.
Yeah.
When thou gatherest the grapes of thy vineyard, thou shalt not glean it afterward. It shall be for the stranger, for the fatherless, and for the widow. It's basically saying, whatever you have, provide for the fatherless and the widow and the poor. It's not just grapes and it's not just olives. You know, if you're a maker of furniture and someone needs furniture, provide for them. Anything that you can do. If you deal in money, give your money to the poor. Whatever you have, whatever commodity that you have, be charitable. Thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondman in the land of Egypt. Therefore, I command thee to do this thing. Chapter 25, Deuteronomy. And it looks like that's all we got for today, but it's been fun in the book. Do you think you could have this much fun in the book of Deuteronomy? And what I tell you all the time, if you've read the rest of this book, you will find fascinating things in the law, in Leviticus and Numbers, and in Deuteronomy. And it's been a pleasure being here with you today. Get in this book, look at every word, methodically read it slow, read it out loud so that it goes into your ears, and read it over and over, and God will show you these mysteries, and you will be blessed. We'll see you next time here with David and Jonathan on Between the Lines, Understanding the Bible on WVFF 97.7.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of Between the Lines. We hope you've gained a deeper understanding of God's Word and strengthened your faith in Jesus. Tune in again for more spiritual discoveries, 3 p.m. daily with David and Jonathan. Exclusively here on Veterans for Freedom Radio, the Truth in Broadcasting Corporation.